Hey everyone. On today's episode, Hannah gets quoted $90 to repair $25 shoes. Welcome to Aspire for More, How to Be an Everyday Negotiator. I'm your host, Joan Moon. When I tell people that I'm a negotiation coach, they immediately think about salaries, but negotiation is much broader than that. Everything is a negotiation. In this podcast series, we delve into the art and science of negotiation and the gender biases that seep through them. Whether you're aiming for a promotion, navigating a difficult conversation with a loved one, or simply seeking to be an informed consumer, join us as we discuss research-based strategies to improve your negotiation outcomes and build the agency you have in your life. Today's guest is Hannah. Hi, Hannah. Where are you calling from today?
Hi, I'm calling from New York City.
All right. So Hannah from New York City, tell me about the negotiation that you have in mind.
So a few days ago, I needed to get my shoes repaired for a event that was happening that night. So it was kind of, you know, urgent. And I went into this little shoe repair place next to my work, which I've been to before, and asked, you know, I just wanted to get the bottom of the shoe, like get the heel sort of smoothed out. And also they were dirty, so I needed them to be clean. And they were really cheap shoes that I had bought from one of these like online, you know, like fast fashion type of places. Yeah. And I basically totally overpaid, I think, or definitely paid more than I expected to pay. I mean, I could go into the details of it, but yeah. I think that, okay, yeah. So when I went in initially, the guy said that it would be, he took a look at them, he complimented the shoes, and he said like, oh, you know, you should probably do both sides. So do like the heel, do the whole bottom, the whole sole basically, and then get them clean. And he said altogether it would be $90, which is about like four times as much as I paid for the shoes, and like definitely get a fairly decent pair of shoes, you know, on sale for that price. Right. So I think I was just so taken aback by the price that I was just like, wait, what? Like, is that reasonable? Like it sort of threw me off a little bit, but yeah, I mean, that price was definitely non-negotiable in sort of the sense that I was just like, well, no.
That was your walkaway point, right? You were willing to walk away at that point, yeah.
Right, and the thing is, too, that like I could have worn those shoes the way that they were. Like the heel was rubbed down. It didn't look great, but it wasn't like they were broken. So like there could have been a point in that I just walked out and was like, it's fine, you know, I'll deal with it. I'll just wear them as is. But then I started kind of going back and forth with him, and I was like, well, what would it be if I just did the heel? What would it be if I did the heel? Oh, and then also as we were talking about the price, he was like, let me just see if I can clean them. Like, let me see if the stain is like, it's their fabric. So let me see if it will come out. And I had previously tried to clean them and it didn't work. So I thought it needed something like professional or whatever. Anyway, we sort of went back and forth a little bit, and we ended up that I paid $40 for just the like heel and the cleaning, which I think is definitely more than I intended to pay and probably more than I should have paid for the service. Yeah. So that was, you know, when I left, I was kind of like, how did that happen? Like, What just happened? You know, how did I end up paying more for like a repair than for the shoes themselves? So
yeah. What other like specific questions were lingering in your head? Like what hesitations and the lingering thoughts as you walked out of the store?
Well, I mean, one aspect that I think did come up was I did question like whether I do or don't know what the real value of it is. And maybe that is like a normal pricing. And, you know, maybe I don't know, I'm living 10 years ago or, you know, or just don't know how much shoe repairs cost. Like it was sort of like, did I get ripped off or did I, or I shouldn't say ripped off. Did I get like out negotiated or, you know, or is that really what it costs? And then it was just a question of like, was that worth it for me or not? Given that this is, I think the fact that it seemed like there was some room to have
that if I had been like a little bit more knowledgeable or a little bit more prepared, I would have known what to say, or I would have known where my, like, how to walk away. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe like the sort of lacking information, you know, would there have been a case where if I had more information, I would have, you know, acted differently, I guess.
Maybe a little bit of lingering regret is what I'm hearing, like, because you're worried about the potential to have gotten ripped off, but you're not actually certain if you were ripped off.
Yeah. I mean, it felt like I did. Okay. I guess maybe I was trying to make myself feel better. I mean, and then the other thing that I was thinking was, as I was talking to him and sort of trying to justify in my head almost the price before I even agreed to it, I was thinking like, well, like buying another pair of shoes, it's not just the value of the shoes. It's also like finding a pair of shoes that you like and that fit you and that, you know, will look good with certain outfits. Like, even though the shoes themselves were whatever they were, let's say $20, it's still not that easy to find the perfect shoe that you like and that you know that you're going to wear with certain, you know, and I don't wear them very often. Like, there was a bunch of things that I was thinking about, like, how do I value this thing? And is it not just about price? And
yeah.
So I don't know if that's,
yeah.
So that was everything that was going through my head.
So Hannah, what I'm sensing from you is like, you're a bit of an overthinker.
I have definitely heard that before.
But it's also like very relatable, right? So what I'm hearing from you is the cognitive overload that was happening in the moment, where you're like, all these thoughts are flooding into your head, but you're right there in front of him and you have to sort of make a decision. You're going to need those shoes that very night. And so you kind of had to make a decision that you weren't like necessarily feeling prepared for. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay. So there are a couple of things that come to mind, right? One thing that we talk about in negotiation is, what alternatives do you have? And because you have the situation for that night, right? You were trying to get a very quick fix, which most shoe shops can do, right? What I'm hearing from you is that you didn't really have as much opportunity to check out what the alternatives are. So you couldn't like check out the three other stores in the same area to do some benchmarking. And in this situation, when it comes specifically to price, benchmarking is with the recommendation that I would make, right? And there's only so much you can do, because if you go around and everyone around you, you're in New York City, there's a chance you're a tourist and they're just gonna like rip you off, right? So there's a chance that every single other person also gave you the same very, very high price. And we call that anchoring, right? They anchored really high at $90. You know that there's some level of like, it didn't actually cost $90 because you went down to 40, right? So I think your skepticism is valid. It is based on like data points that you are collecting in the moment. But what we don't know is, could it have gone down even more? Right. So that's what's going on in your head. So one thing that we can do in a future situation is, if you have time, you do some benchmarking, right? And there are going to be situations where you don't have time and you don't have alternatives, right? You need those shoes for tonight. It sounds like the other alternative, the best alternative, we call it a BATNA, the best alternative to negotiate agreement, would be to just wear the scuffed up shoes or find another pair in your closet, right? And so these are the options that you had at the moment. I always recommend to try not to beat yourself up over any decisions you made, because so many of us have been in this position where we feel pressure and then we make a decision and then we spend a lot of mental and emotional energy afterwards second guessing ourselves, right? Would you say that's accurate?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, it's like there's some shame, but thankfully it's not, you know, so much money that it's, you know, really upsetting my, you know, it's not really getting in the way of things, but yeah, but definitely like, I think it leaves some shame, which I think maybe is not, it sort of, if I were to be in a similar situation next time, I feel like that would sort of maybe hold me back. It would be a problem, because I would be remembering that and be like, oh, I'm terrible in these situations. I get like flustered and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is, you know, negotiating is a skill that you practice just like anything else, right? So none of us are born as good negotiators. It's a skill that we have to practice and fine tune over time. And it's also something that like you can practice a million times and then sometimes you're still going to be bad at it because of the circumstances of the situation, right? So I would recommend try not to punish yourself for the situation. So you didn't have a strong alternative because of the time crunch. Another factor that I would ask about is the relationship with this person. Like, have you walked in with a shoe repair into this specific store before?
I have, but I don't remember. I don't think we had a previous relationship in the sense that I don't remember him and I don't think he remembers me. I will say that afterwards, this might not be relevant to most people, but so after we agreed, you know, he asked me for my name, and I'm using a pseudonym right now, but my name is very recognizable in my community. And that mm-hmm. made him, you know, he was like, oh, are you from X? And I was like, you know, yeah, yes, you're getting my name. You're understanding where my name is from. And he started to get really friendly and, you know, started talking about how his son also went to this, you know, went to this country and stuff like that. So it was interesting because it felt like I was wondering if he almost felt bad afterwards that he had, you know, but then he didn't, I don't know if he could have budged at that point, because then it would have seemed mm-hmm. like, you know, he was not being fair to begin with. But it did make me wonder if like I had tried to be a little more like sociable or something. So just I think one important thing is I do feel like going into a store like this, it's a tiny little like
hole in the wall.
Yeah. Hole in the wall. Exactly. Yeah. And it's not, and I feel like it's sort of old school in that way where there's no prices anywhere. There's no right. like, you know, there's no vibe of like, and you can tell that people who come in here, like have been coming here for years and stuff like that. Like, so there definitely is a vibe of like, this is a different kind of interaction than you would get if you went into like obviously a regular store and you were just buying something off the shelf or, you know, yeah. something like that. So it's not a situation that I'm in often, I guess.
Right. So it's not like there's clear pricing where there's no clear pricing. And what you're also mentioning is that there is like a sort of the community angle. There's a like the quote unquote regular. Right. Like there are people who have built relationship and might go to this shoe repair person like over and over and over again. And what you're wondering is, should I have been a little more social with him beforehand? And that is, it is one part that I'm bringing up with the relationship angle. Like negotiations are not strictly practical. They're not just numbers. People can get incredibly tribal, right? So I'm Korean American. When I walk into a shop and I see they're Korean, I immediately speak in Korean to try to sort of like build up that relationship and say like, hey, we have something in common. And so what you're saying is that there might have been an opportunity for you to make that connection with him. And it's not a guarantee that he wouldn't have tried to rip you off. It's not a guarantee that he would have treated you any differently, but it does increase the probability that you're getting like a fairer price because he's made some sort of connection with you, right? At the same time, in a touristy place such as New York City, there are a lot of really good salesmen who can mimic a connection and still rip you off, right? So it's not a guarantee. It's something to think about. It's something to consider and try to explore, but it's not like you made a huge mistake or anything. Again, it's not something to dwell on, but it might be a piece of data for you to consider for future negotiations where maybe I, you know, do a little small talk beforehand. That's not, you know, that's not a very New Yorker thing to do. So, and what you can do is if you are considering future work with him, you can sort of take something to other places, benchmark the price at like two other shops nearby, and then go back to him. And that should be a good data point, whether if his price point is still much higher than others, then I would say maybe you don't want to go to the shop again, right? But if you benchmark and it's still within the same price point, maybe you found your regular shoe shop, right? You know that you're being treated fairly, you made a connection with him, and it'd be a little bit you can have that future peace of mind, right? It's not just about the price. The peace of mind knowing that you didn't get ripped off is valuable. And I think a lot of women don't weigh that enough when they're thinking about negotiating.
So I think the one other question that I would ask about this is like in that moment, if there was, you know, you said the alternatives would have been, you know, if I had been less of a crunch time, I could go benchmark, you know, in this particular situation, it would be just to leave. But I wonder if there was a way to negotiate. Well, obviously we don't know what he would have done, but like negotiate with him on price. And I will say that I did ask, you know, when he gave me the number, the when he said 40, it still felt high to me. And I was like, can you do 30? And he said no. And then I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm just wondering, like, just for like the direct like pricing, you know, negotiation, once you're already in it, like what are there any tips or something that you have for that?
This is a really great question. So one part that I would recommend is something that you already did is sort of repackaging what price for what's included, right? So he said 90, you didn't really want to pay that much, but you also didn't feel the need to get the front of the sole done, right? You only wanted the heel. So you said, ugh, that's a little high. What's the price just for the cleaning and the heel? So what you're doing is you're focusing on packaging and you're giving him valid reasons for why the price point should go down. Now, a lot of people think that negotiating is just like what you said. It's kind of just like bartering the price and like going back and forth and ending up somewhere in the middle, because that's what people do when we're traveling and for souvenirs. But to give him an opportunity to sort of save face and say, okay, that's a fair price, you want to couple any reduction in price with a reason that will be socially acceptable, right? And so it's hard to come up with those reasons in the moment. The only thing that I can come up with at the top of my mind is, again, packaging, saying, if I pay this price, will you give me X discount? Or I have two other shoes at home. Can you, like, if I bring them in next week, can we come up with a price for that? So giving him reasons to say yes that allow him not to be, not for him to feel like he wasn't being taken advantage of, right? So you have to start thinking about how can he save face. And just from my own personal observation, I think this is incredibly important when a woman is negotiating, particularly with a man, right? Like the ego, don't underestimate the size of ego with any man, no matter how nice he is to you. Don't underestimate the power of ego when negotiating.
I think you've given me some good things to think about.
All right. So in summary, we want to talk about alternatives. We want to talk about benchmarking to sort of check prices in the other areas to get good information around that. And there's the relationship angle that you can consider as you negotiate. Hannah, thank you so much for sharing your negotiation with us.
Thank you so much.
Hi, if you're listening and you thought this episode was interesting or can think of a friend or loved one who could benefit from hearing this podcast, please share it with them. It would also be super helpful if you reviewed the podcast on whatever platform you're listening to, share it on social media, and tag @moonnegotiation. Thanks. For today's listener question, this question is from Linda in Washington, D.C. How can I overcome feeling selfish when negotiating?
Oof, girl. I have so many clients who struggle with this, right? So before I give you some tips, I want to unpack, like, why do so many women feel selfish when they're negotiating? First of all, there is research. And if you watch my free webinar on my website, I go into the research on this a little bit more, but just very quickly, I'll mention that the research shows that women are expected to be community-minded and men are not expected to be that way. So what does community-minded mean? It means to take care of others. So every time that they violate that, when they are advocating for themselves, they run the risk of being perceived more negatively. So think about what happens over a lifetime of that. If you are perceived more negatively, you get some negative backlash, negative feedback every time you advocate for yourself. Over time, you might internalize some of these signals and you yourself might start to believe that you're being selfish when you're advocating for yourself. When oftentimes when I hear some of my clients, I'm like, you're not being selfish at all, right? I think there are a lot of other factors that come into play. There are cultural norms, depending on like the ethnic or cultural background of your family. There are industry factors. So for example, if you work at a nonprofit and you're like, oh my, I don't want to ask for a higher salary because this is taking away from the goals of the mission of this nonprofit, or any sort of social services organization. So there are a lot of factors for why you might feel selfish when negotiating. But I want to tell you that a large part of that is probably because of the social conditioning. Okay? So let's unpack that a little bit, reflect on that. And here are a couple of tips that I have used that I recommend to my clients. There is an internal work that you can do, and there are some external things that you can do. So the external one would be surround yourself with what I call your boosting besties, right? Who are the ones who are going to remind you, you're not being selfish at all. No, you've got this. You're being completely reasonable. Right? Who are the friends, who are your hype woman, who are going to remind you that as you negotiate, so that they are there to remind you that you are not being selfish, right? Be careful about who you choose, right? There are friends who are right for that role and there are friends who are not. So choose the right people to have around you when you're going through a negotiation. The other side is to do the internal aspect of this. And one thing that I think is incredibly helpful is benchmarking. When you are asking for something and you realize that other people have gotten the same or more, then you realize you're not being selfish. I had a client who was worried that she was being selfish when she wanted to ask for a raise, then found out that a colleague of hers on the same level, doing the same type of work, was getting paid $10,000 more because she came in at a higher salary. And so all of a sudden, it released her of these feelings of I'm being selfish. She's like, oh, if they can pay her $10,000 more, then they can pay me $10,000 more. So benchmarking, having that data can be incredibly helpful for you internally, psychologically. Another thing that you can do internally is write things out and talk to yourself in the third person. So I wouldn't say I'm asking for too much money. I would instead write, Joan is not asking for too much money. Right? Writing it in the third person. And I got this tip actually from a mental health professional who talked about why that there's actual like psychology behind this. So write it out, talk it out in the third person. These are just a couple of tricks that you can use to overcome the feeling of selfishness. I can tell you that that feeling is likely not going to go away immediately. It's not going to go away overnight. It's some internal work that you might have to continue to do every time you advocate for yourself. Linda, thank you for your question. I hope that was helpful. If you have a question, you can submit it on any of our social platforms. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Aspire for More, How to Be an Everyday Negotiator. I hope you found valuable insights that will empower you in your own negotiation journey. Please keep in mind that this episode has been edited for brevity and is purely for educational purposes. It does not represent a full coaching session and should not be taken as tailored advice that applies to your unique circumstances. Remember, negotiation is not just about salary, although that is important. It's also about ensuring you're being treated fairly, creating mutually beneficial solutions, and strengthening relationships. Make sure you're following @moonnegotiation on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and check out other services on our website, moonnegotiation.com. Stay tuned for more episodes where we continue to negotiate the everyday aspects of your life. And until next time, bye-bye.